Matthew chapter 6, continuing our study in the book of Matthew today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 will be where we'll pick up. And this is prayer. This is about prayer. Specifically, Lord, teach me to pray. I know this is a period of building fund drive, and I know I've told you not to give yet. And I've been intentional, and I want you to understand why, okay? Just in case you're wondering, when are we going to give? We're going to give when we get there. But there are some things we need to take care of first. We need to get our hearts and our minds in that right state so that when we give, we're giving right. You see, I want you to, when you give, I want you to be blessed, and I want the Lord to be blessed. And for us to do that, we've got to deal with prayer, first of all, okay? Second thing I want to tell you tonight, today, is you need to come back tonight, right? I know our Sunday night attendance is usually half or less normally, but let's do it different tonight. Come back tonight. And the reason is you need to be here tonight, right? You need to be here because I'm going to continue this message. I can't finish it today. I'm pretty sure I won't finish it tonight, right? And so this subject is so very important that I'm asking. Take the time, come back tonight from 5 to 6, right? And get the second part of this message. And the next Sunday you'll probably get the third part of this message. Anyway, let's stand. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And we all know this by heart. So I tell you what, why don't you just read it together, okay? Verse 9 says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do bow to you today. We bow to honor you because you are God. To hallow your name. To praise you and thank you for every blessing. Father, I come to you today praying for this congregation, my church family, my brothers and sisters. You know the battles that they are facing. You know what they need, more so than even they themselves know. So, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for all of us. That, Lord, you will speak to us from your word today and that you'll improve our prayer lives to make us all prayer warriors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the theme verse of our study, and it's at the end of this verse. It's verse 33. It's at the end of this chapter, I mean. And today, our focus is, teach us to pray. Now, that statement came from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. When one of his disciples approached Jesus and said to him, "Now it came to pass as he was praying," that he is, of course, Jesus, "as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Now, I want you to think about that statement for just a moment and where it came from. It came from one of his disciples. This is somebody, we don't know which one, okay? It might have been Judas for all I know. I doubt it, but it could have been. But it was one of his disciples, someone that was spending time with him personally. Someone that you would think would know how to pray. I mean, This is a disciple of Jesus during the personal ministry of Jesus. And you're saying that he doesn't know how to pray? Well, I want to ask you a question today. Do you pray with confidence? Do you know how to pray? Now, this is where I've got to be absolutely open and honest with you. I thought I had a pretty good handle on prayer, but the more I've studied this so much this week, and it has been refreshing and such a joy. But the more I study, the more I discover you need to tighten up some things, big boy. Yeah. Prayer's not quite right, and it's certainly not as good as it should be. Matter of fact, if I were to grade my prayer after this study, I would say it's poor at best. And I think that may be what we all find. I think we can all learn to pray. Now, some people will just say, I've had people ask me, how do you pray? How do you know what to pray? How do you know what to say? And people have responded to those questions. Well, you just talk to God like you would anybody. No, you don't. No. God's not like anybody. This is God, right? Now, there is an intimacy there, a friendship, if you will. But you need to understand, he's not your buddy or your pal. This is God, creator of the universe. He set the stars into place. He created this earth. He made you and I. He made man from the dust of the earth. This is God. Think of the most important person you know, and that person pales in comparison to God that we're addressing in prayer. He's God. And so when the disciple asked Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples, Jesus gives us this wonderful outline of prayer. Now I want you to understand, this is an outline. This is not repeat a prayer. This is not something that you just mindlessly repeat, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No. If you'll notice, it does not say pray these words, but rather in verse 9, Jesus said pray in this manner. Use this for a pattern. This is your standard. Right? And we've certainly been warned against vain repetitions in last week's message. It's not just something we pray over and over again. It is a standard. It is an outline, a guide that I promise you, if you pattern your prayer after the Lord's guide here to prayer, your prayer life will improve. And you will see it improve. So understand, this is simply an outline. It's not a repeated prayer. The second thing I want you to understand from the beginning is that there are no singular personal pronouns in this prayer. I want you to chew on that just a moment. There are no singular personal pronouns in this prayer. You will not find I, and you will not find me in this prayer. How much of our prayer life is spent, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm hurting. Please pick me up. Lord, heal me. Lord, I'm concerned and life's not going right. Oh, Lord, please deliver me. Wait a minute. Here's our model. And nowhere in this, let's just look at it again. If you pick up your Bible and look, it says it opens with Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be my name. No. What does it say? Hallowed be whose name? Your name. So immediately we're pointed to God. This prayer, or my prayer, is about honoring God because He is God. Keep looking. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Then we shift gears. And it's give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Me's not there. I's not there. It's all about Him and us. And that's the first thing we need to understand about prayer. Prayer's not a selfish thing. Prayer is about the, and remember this, okay, I didn't put it in your notes, but remember it. Prayer is about the Father, or the glory of the Father, and the good of the family. Right? The glory of the Father, and the good of the family. Now, I'm not saying, listen to me, I'm not saying you should never pray about yourself. Sometimes we just need to take God because we're broken, and we need to bring our broken selves before God and seek His healing, and that's fine, okay? I'm not saying don't do that. But I am saying that should not be all of your prayer life. As a matter of fact, that should be a small portion of your prayer life. The prayer, the heart of your prayer should be the glory of the Father and the good of the family. Right? So let's begin. Let's get started. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I have prayed that repeatedly, or let me rephrase that. I have spoken those words repeatedly without thinking what they mean. Our Father, that word, our Father, the phrase, our Father, it emphasizes the family relationship of God's people. You see, it brings us to that point where we realize, hey, this is our common ground. We have the same Father. This is the reason you can look at me and say, Pastor, I don't agree with everything you do, but I still love you and you're still my brother. This is the reason I can look at you and say, well, I disagree with you, but I still love you because you're my brother. You see, we're family. And I'll give you the inside track of family. You can't decide who's in your family. We all have, you know, it's holiday season. We all have that cousin when we see them coming. We think, oh, no. They're here. Well, let's be honest with you. About half of the church family, myself included, when I show up, people probably say, oh, no, it's that preacher. But the thing that holds us together, the thing that pulls us together is we are family. When I say, and I have repeated, you know, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't think about it as much as I should. I do it out of habit sometimes. But I want you to understand, when I say I love you, I do not say that lightly. I do love you. I have a burden for you, and my burden for you is that you honor God with your life in every way in your life. That's my desire for you. And because we are family. And what do families do? Families love. And I'm going to give you insight, okay? Are you ready? Say amen if you're ready. If the relationship with the family is not right, the relationship with the Father is not right. Okay? It's required. And I say this at this point because we have all these big projects for the future and we have the building program coming in the future. Listen, we've got to get right in two areas. We got to get right with one another and we got to get right with God. But you can't have one without the other. See, that's why Jesus taught in Matthew 5:23-24. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there. And go. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. You know what God says? God says, don't try to be right with me when you're wrong with the family. Have you ever seen a family that was in chaos? How sad it is. That's one thing that my dad repeated over and over. He said, don't you kids fight. Don't you kids fight. Don't you kids fight. And I'll be honest with you, there's been a little fighting. Can you imagine our Father in heaven looking at us? He's saying, you're the family. We're all we've got. We can't be right with the Father if I'm not right with you and you're not right with me. And so, we have to understand how important this part is. Our Father. This is our common ground. We have the same dad. And we also have the same purpose. Look at this phrase. Our Father in heaven, hallowed. Well, that's one of them churchy words. Hallowed be your name. That word hallowed, it means to set apart or regard as sacred. And I think perhaps most people don't understand how to approach something sacred in our society today, because we have, to a large extent, lost the idea of respect and reverence. See, our prayer, first and foremost, should be that God's name be regarded as sacred and holy by all. And I say that our generation has lost that quality of reverence. And we say, yeah, those young people, they don't know how to respect. No, let's wait. It's not those young people. Probably most of those young people are only following the pattern that we have set. Okay? Do you know how to reverence God? Do you understand? That's why I said earlier, He's not here to be a pal. He's here to be your God. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, I talked to the man upstairs. Number one, God's not a man and he's not upstairs. That is so irreverent. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth. And if you hear a brother use that phrase, correct him. He's not the man upstairs. He's the God of the universe who resides in the heavens and sees everything that I do and that you do and has an eternal plan for this earth. At His name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Not, hi, Mr. Man upstairs. This is hallowed, sacred, respect and honor. You heard people say, me and Jesus, we just got it all worked out. Tell me what kind of deal you struck with Jesus. Jesus doesn't do deals. Jesus is God. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is Jesus. He is God. He was there on the day of creation. He wasn't some afterthought that God created and put in Bethlehem. Jesus has been God. He's always been God. And He's worthy of our respect. Do you know how they approach God in the Bible? I mean, think about it. When they would approach God, they'd approach Jesus, they'd fall to the ground in reverence. When Moses came to the burning bush, what'd God tell him? Take off your shoes, for the ground where you walk is holy ground. That's something that's been lost in our generation. And I'm not talking about the college kids. I'm talking about all of us. Old and young alike. You see, don't try to approach God with this careless attitude of, well, you know, He's the man upstairs. No, He's God. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. Let me stop right there. That focuses that there is an acceptable way to serve God and an unacceptable way to serve God. Your sincerity doesn't matter. Your desire doesn't matter. It matters what the Bible says. Let us serve God acceptably. How? With reverence and godly fear. When we say, Lord, hallowed be Thy name, it should come from a heart of reverence and fear that understands who God is. And He's not a pal. He's God. Then He says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. You know, I see, and myself, I'm guilty. of holding on very tightly to this world. Do you do that? Oh, listen, I dare say most of us spend more time praying about things that have no eternal value than we do praying God's kingdom come. Oh, Lord, we'll pray, just give me that new job. If I just get that new job, Lord, everything will be all right. And they get that new job, and guess what? They discover everything's not right. Most of the time, you got a bigger headache now than you had then. Lord, just get me that raise. If I get that raise, I'll get out of this financial bind, and I'll be all right. And we get that raise, and we don't get out of the financial bind because we go and spend more money. Are you familiar with the phrase, it's always something? That's kind of what life is. It's always something. And I understand, I'm not suggesting that we live with the attitude of, hey, life is bad and then you die. No. There are blessings that we enjoy, and it's great because every good gift comes from above. But we cannot put too much store on the here and the now and focus everything that we are on the things of this world. Why? Because, beloved, we're just passing through. And if you're in a really good place right now, let me tell you something. This too shall pass. If you're in a really bad place right now, let me tell you, this too shall pass. But the glorious part is that we're going to pass. This life is not our glory. It is not our hope. There is more to this life than the here and the now. You have to understand our future. Understand what's in store. Now here's where I'm going to ask for your participation quite a lot. I want to stop when we say, your kingdom come. What are we asking for? Well, first thing we're asking for is the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17 says this. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and here join me, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Oh, we can do better than that. Are y'all going? Let's read that last line together. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's good news. Can you imagine? We've gone to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and when in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be transported from this go to church every Sunday to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior, for all of eternity. That, my friend, is good news. That is the good news. Is it going to get better? Absolutely, it's going to get better. Just not on this earth right now, right? The future is bright. Can you imagine just being here and blinking your eyes and suddenly, bang, you're in the presence of Jesus? That's good stuff, friends. That's what's ahead. And then after that, you know, we got the 7-year tribulation period, but we're going to be in heaven looking down and say, boy, I feel sorry for those folks, right? But then after that 7-year tribulation period, there's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Right? You ever stop and think about what that's going to be like? 1,000-year reign of Christ. Revelation 20 verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he who has part in this first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Can you imagine just say, going and saying, oh, King Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Can you imagine that? Reigning with Jesus? Oh, but it gets better. You want to know what the 1,000-year reign is like? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. Now I'm going to ask you to join me on the end of this verse. So are you ready when we get there? Oh, God. If you're going to pray God's kingdom come, you're going to have to understand what you're praying for. Okay? This is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is what Isaiah says it's going to be like. Okay? Are you ready to join me at the end of this verse? I'll tell you when to come in. Are you ready? Okay. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. This is what it's going to be like. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow shall bear, the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play with the cobra's hole. And the, wait a minute, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. He's going to have to work on me a little bit because I'm going to pull, you know, I'm of the mentality, only good snake's a dead one. What about you? But during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, I guess I'm going to love snakes too. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what that's like? And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Get this. This is where we all read. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Do you get that? That the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. It's just like a sea. Everybody's going to know who Jesus is. Everybody's going to know that He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Ah, and then Satan's going to be released for a short period. He's going to deceive some of the nations. And it's going to be one final battle. Right? But after that battle, then Revelation 21 talks about the new heaven and the new earth. Now, we're not going to read. I would encourage you to read all of Revelation 21. But we are going to read the first seven verses of Revelation 21. This is what John saw. Can you imagine? Here's a man that has been exiled on the Isle of Patmos because of preaching the gospel. They tried to kill him. It didn't work. So they just put him on an island, right? So you're thinking he's got to be pretty miserable. But he sees. This is what he sees. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself will be their God. Okay? And God Himself will be their God. Go to the next verse. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away. Let's stop right here just a moment. Can you imagine never crying again? Can you imagine God wiping your tear and from that point on your heart be filled with nothing but love and joy from the presence of Jesus Christ? That's what we've got to look forward to. That's what we're going to receive when we pray God's kingdom come. Then verse 5, I think, right? And He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Then verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And we will get there. There will be no news of earthquakes today. There will be no news of terrorists today. There will be no news of robberies and people shot today. There will only be the glory of God reigning throughout his kingdom. That's what we're praying for. You see, we've got to be able to look forward to that. And as I said, I'm not saying you have to go through this life with everything's terrible, it's bad. I'm not. But I am going to tell you this, when life throws some rough stuff, you've got to be able to look ahead to know what's in store. And listen to me. It's going to happen. Just as sure as I'm standing before you today, God's kingdom is coming. That's why we need to be praying for it. Yeah? Do you pray? Lord, come. Lord, just come. You know, I've known especially young people, and this is just natural. I've heard young people say, "Brother Doug, you know, I want the Lord to come, but I want Him to wait till I'm married and have children and experience all that." Well, number one, it ain't all it's cracked up to be, okay? It's good. It's good. But there's a lot of heartaches that go along with that too. Right? But I promise you this. If you're thinking, you know, I'd like for it to wait, I'd like to do all that. What you're going to experience in heaven is going to be so much more wonderful that what you think you're going to miss will not compare, nor will even be an afterthought. Okay? And it's going to happen. God's kingdom is coming. Revelation 22 and 20. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." There's no doubt there. There's no room for doubt. You can translate that any way you want to. It's a fact. Surely I am coming quickly. And then John responds. I love his response. And you imagine John seeing all this stuff go down, right? And Jesus says, "Surely I'm coming quickly." Amen. That's the way it's going to be. And so John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come." That should be our attitude. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. You see, this morning we just started to understand what prayer looks like. Everything this morning has been pointed toward our Father. Because our Father has our best interest in mind. My question to you at this point is this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, I talked about, you know, God's kingdom coming. You have to, only way you can be excited about God's kingdom coming is if you're in the family of God. Right? And so, my question to you at this point is, are you in the family? Are you in the family? Are you a child of God? If you're not, you have to understand the invitation goes out. Come. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden. Come. I'll give you rest. Come. You've got to answer the question, are you saved? God's kingdom is coming. Is it? Yeah, they've said that for thousands of years. Yes, they have, but that doesn't change the fact that it's coming. It may be today, it may be 100 years from now, I don't know, but it's coming. And I'm praying that it comes soon, right? But you better be ready. You better be ready, because as much of the glory that I talked about for the children of God that they have to look forward to, the person who's not a child of God has equal horrors as he faces the judgments of God. Are you saved? If not, will you come this morning to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful Word. Lord, we thank You for this reminder. Oftentimes we get caught up in our own problems and the challenges of this world, and we forget we're here to glorify You. And when we glorify You, Lord, we are reminded that is our encouragement. That is our joy. That is where we find peace, comfort, and encouragement. And so, Lord, in this invitation, I just pray that You will glorify Your name. The decisions made would be led by You. And the Lord, everyone present, everyone present will be right with You. Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of Jesus.